faith outreach, I'll assure you. But the preacher's on fire, so that's what matters, I guess. Praise God. Well, it's good to see all of you tonight. Thank you for coming. And I promise you, you'll be blessed tonight. And we have a very special person with us tonight. We'll get to that in just a moment. But it's good to see you all. Amen. Y'all have a good afternoon. Y'all looking good. Boy, it got quiet and I said that. Y'all need to get the memo. When I say yes, hallelujah. We got an expert. You know what an expert is? Someone that lives out of town. And this expert said, y'all looking good. Okay? So take it and run with it. Glory to God. Put your faith with it. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, you're so good to us, and we thank you. Lord, you've given us relationships for almost 40 years with certain people, and that are just so precious that money cannot compare to it. And Lord, we're glad tonight that one of those gifts is with us. We thank you, Lord, for he and Regina and their ministry, Lord, and the church in Grenada. Lord, what a blessing they are to the body of Christ, to all of us. They are the real deal, and we love them so much. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here tonight and the special love you have for all of us and that we have for each other. Lord, may it only grow. May tonight, Lord God, we hear the word of God, and the word of God will prick our heart that love is the key thing. It's the love of God. Jesus said, I'm giving you one last commandment. Love one another like I loved you. And we all have said, yes, sir. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you for all that you do and all that you've done and all you're going to do. We love you tonight for just who you are. Lord, I thank you again. We lift up this service to you. Ask, Lord, you fill this place with your glory. Lord God, we open the doors to you. Lord God, we set aside any agenda, anything that will prevent you from doing what you want to do. And, Lord, we thank you for it. We believe we received that all. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Announcement or two, next Sunday for all of us is at Faith Outreach a special offering day. Get to give twice. And yes, amen. Thank you for that, Jerry. And then Bible study is Wednesday night at 7. And then we'll receive a love offering at the end of service tonight for our guest speaker. So get yourself prepared for that. And you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S. Again, anyway. Okay. But Chris is going to sing, and we're going to do praise and worship. And it's always a great blessing, too. But how many have never heard Chris Owensby before? One, two, three. Anybody else? Four? Well, you got some new ones in here tonight. Hallelujah. Well, he's famous, and he's infamous as well, but he's mostly famous. But if you knew his story, what a difference he's made in Alabama and Mississippi, all everywhere he's ever been. Just a super anointing. And at this time, let's all stand our feet. Welcome our guest speaker, the Reverend Chris Owensby. Amen.
In the basket. Check. I didn't turn it on. Check. All right, we're on the air. Amen. It's good to see everybody. Come on, everybody. Give the Lord another hand clap, would you? Let's bless Jesus in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know you've had a great day. You may be seated if you can be. I hope I have to get back up in a minute when we go to singing and praising. But I want to say that how much I love this house. I'm thinking about you this week and how valuable this place is to me and how that you changed my life in more ways than you realize. You changed my signature. I walked in this, the first time I ever walked on these grounds, preaching in the gym. Kim was working with student ministry at that time, and they had a big banner on the wall. They said, "Welcome, Chris Owensby," and a big smiley face in the middle of the O. And I thought, where have I been all my life? Why have I not already thought about dogging it? If your name starts with an O, make a smile out of it. So you changed my life in that way. But in 1997, God did some things on these grounds for 6 weeks that were phenomenal. And the beauty of it is that everything that God does in places like this, it never ends. It never ends. It stays with people and builds and grows in people's lives who value it. And on this, the second day of June, I appreciate you Holy Rollers and happy folk coming out on a Sunday evening when you could have been doing other things, but you gave place to an opportunity. I'm excited about the different reasons that I'm here tonight, but I really believe that the main reason why I'm here is the reason why I've always been here, is to allow another avenue and another stream of opportunity to be able to help people. Because God does not anoint us so we can just look polished and cute. God anoints us that we might pour oil on somebody else. The anointing on our lives is not for us, but it's for others. Amen. Smile at someone and say, your anointing is not for you, it's for me. So I don't know, are we on Facebook Live tonight as well, or are we just mainly just in-house doing it? Oh, good. So I can act up crazy. I ain't got to worry about it. I can go bug wild and freak out these new folk. Amen. You know, I really appreciate media and stuff like that, but I also appreciate not doing it sometimes. Amen. So we could just, the folks who made the effort get the goodie. Amen. So can I sing a little bit and let's flow together? It's a great song. I think I sang it in the tent revival this last year. What a time we had. Can't believe it's been over a year. Time's flying. We're growing. And we must be having a good time because it's flying. Let this song minister to you. Old Church Choir. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Juice me up, Doug. There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday evening, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Hey, what you choose it? You can't lose it. Well, there ain't nothing there. Gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation. It's beautiful. Got a heart that's overflowing because I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. In those valleys that I've wandered, they try to become mountains that I can't climb. I remember, Lord, you're with me. You never leave me. Oh, and there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation. It's beautiful. Got a heart that's overflowing because I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my. Come on, everybody, help me now. Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah. Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find that gospel beat. It's all you'll ever need. Well, my. Clap your hands and stomp your feet. Do you find that gospel deep? Cause it's all you'll ever need. Oh, you'll ever need. Well, got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a way deep down salvation. Yes, it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation. It's beautiful. Got a heart. Overflowing, cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Said there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Give him praise in this room because your joy is not for sale. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, that chapter that's a game changer. He said, I want my joy to be in you so that your joy may be full. I want you open folk to just give him a clap offering up high tonight. Let that next song roll, Doug, if you would. Written by a friend of mine, Mississippi, moved to Indianapolis. He's a faith man. Faith country is what he sings. It says, let this touch you. 10 miles outside of Montgomery, talking to the Lord alone. Oh, thinking about the way my Lord's been so good to me. Is anybody grateful tonight? And my family back at home. And then my mind rolled back to yesterday, when my life just wasn't right. I said, Lord, what about those foolish days? It seems these words came through the night. Well, with a future like yours, why talk about your past?
Come on, sing it.
Those things are gone for good. Your change will last. You got a promise and a hope. All you had to do was just ask. With a future like yours, why talk about your past? Woo! I wish you would shout yes, shout yeah. Well, I don't know where you've been living.
On a Sunday night in Oklahoma, Mississippi,
I got good gospel news for you. Hear me now, neighbor, you don't have to take what this world's been given. Get hooked up with Jesus. He is the way, the life, the truth.
Let me tell you what he'd like to do for you.
Jesus Christ, he wants to set you free.
Hear me.
It does not matter what you've done. Put your trust in him. Put all your trust in him and you will see. Your brand new life has just begun. Oh, with a future like yours, why talk about your past? Those things are gone for good. Your change will last. You got a promise and a hope. All you had to do was just ask. With a future like yours, why talk about your past?
Skip and run.
Hallelujah. With a future like yours, why talk about your past? Don't study, don't worry about your past. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by infinite mercy. Give him a praise because his child forever you are. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. Yes. Let's lift our hands straight up to heaven tonight. Lord, you're so welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you're so welcome in this place. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the things you have done in this house. Thank you for the transformations of life that have happened on these grounds. And thank you that tonight, better said this evening, right here in this moment, we have another chance to experience what only you can do, that you do so well, that you long to do. For we are all in a divine appointment tonight, and we believe it. And we press in tonight. We will not pull away, but we press in to lay hold of what you divinely and wonderfully make available. God, I thank you for open spirits. I thank you for encouraging people that are maybe going through a very, very difficult time, faithing their way through diligently through difficult moments. I want to thank you for those who, if their life got much better, they'd have to be raptured. I thank you for them too. And I thank you for those who may be searching for something that they have not yet found. And I thank you that tonight they can find it all in you, Jesus. We give you praise. You can be seated if you can be. I was in Seoul, Korea years ago, and the great Yeordo Full Gospel Church, where David Youngie Cho was lead pastor. It's the world's largest local church, and it's a Holy Ghost church, by the way, and a faith church. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. Doesn't surprise you, does it? And while I was there, one of the unique things that really got my attention was that building that was packed, filled, where you had eight different interpreters. You'd sit down in the booth and you'd put your headset on and you'd turn to the channel of whichever your language was, and somebody would be interpreting of eight different languages beyond Korean. And while I was in there, I noticed that when they did praise and worship, they stood up to pray. They stood to do everything except when they did praise and worship. They sat down. But it looked like everybody was singing. It looked like, that probably might not have been the case, but I was one of those times where you're supposed to in church pretty well mind your own business, but I was like Marty Feldman. You remember that actor Marty Feldman? One eye went this way, one eye went the other. I had one eye on the Lord, and my other eye was going all over, because I was just intrigued by the hunger and the passion that was in that house. And so I was watching and praying, a whole lot of watching. And it looked like everybody was singing, clapping, lifting their hands and rejoicing. So I reckon if they can do it sitting down, Faith Outreach can do it sitting down. But if you have to jump back up, it's cool. I'm the one who gave you the opportunity to sit down. This is a great song. It talks about the plans God has for us. I've sung it here a lot of times through the years. Glad to sing it again. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Thank you, Doug. Help it just a little bit. Thank you so much. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Oh, yes. I know the plans, the awesome plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans, they're awesome plans to prosper you. There is plans, his plans, never to harm you. That they are God's plans to give you bright hopes and a future too. Yes, these are the plans. These are the plans. These are the plans God has for you. My track may be a little defective, but I can't stop the song. I want you to press in with me. It's not his fault. I can tell something's not right. But let's sing it anyway. Yes, I know the plans. The plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Oh, well, I know the plans. The awesome plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, their plans to prosper you. Lift your hands if you're a taker. Oh, their plans never to harm. You better said I'm a receiver. Hallelujah. Oh, their plans to give you bright hopes and a future too. Yes, these are the plans.
These are the plans, hallelujah. These are the plans God has for you.
Years I've searched this book. Every which way I look, I find God trying to help me, trying to raise me, trying to elevate me, fix me if I'm broken, stretch me when I need it. He's become my everything. And He's able to do exceeding abundant and above all that we're able to ask or think according to His power that works within us. So ask big, believe big, seek big, receive big.
Whoa, their plans, their awesome plans to prosper. Will of God for your life. Oh, their plans never to harm you. No, 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 no. But their plans to give you bright hopes and a future too. Yes, these are the plans. Lift your hands and receive the plans. These are the plans. These are the plans God has. These are His plans. We receive them, Lord. These are the plans. These are the plans I have for you.
And this came from more than a prophet. This came from more than an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. This came from the Father. Plans to give you hope and a future. Would you give Him a hand clap and a shout? Woo! Hallelujah!
Doug, I really don't know what was up with that, brother. I apologize. He's up there going. He's twisting knobs he probably ain't touched in a long time up there. Amen.
Got to do one more song before we're going to the Word for a little while. Right, we're going. In Hawaii, we got plenty of time, man. I'm just telling you. Hula, hula, hula. Amen. First time I came here, I think I wound up singing this song 7 times. It's just so beautiful. I sang it in the wedding, and I liked it so much. I love the thought of singing this to my wife, but I really love the thought of singing it to my Lord, Keeper of the stars. Let's try this out.
It is no accident me serving you. Lord, you've always had your great big hand in it long before I ever knew. On that Sunday morning when I first believed, since that day you've been in my life.
Tonight in Oklahoma,
I know that heaven's smiling down on me through that precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I lift my hands to the Keeper of the stars. What He was doing that day, He changed this old heart. And I know I owe everything all to Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's all in Him that I've got all I ever need. This of the stars,
Jesus.
Lord, tonight it's still your love that lights up my face. Jesus, you're the one who makes me shine. After all these years, you still take my breath away. 'Cause I know for me, Jesus, you died. In my flesh alone, I could never fully deserve. I could never deserve treasure more like you, but you made me right. Really, Master, there aren't enough words for me to fully show my gratitude. Sing it with me, you know. So I lift my hands to the keeper of the stars. Yes, he knew what he was doing all that day when he changed his own heart. And I know that I know. Jesus Christ, my Lord, it's all in Him that I've got all I'll ever need. Oh, yeah, thanks to the keeper of the stars. It is no accident, no accident, Jesus. Serving, and I know that down through the hands of time, it's been you that had your mighty hand in it long before I ever.
Come on, give him a great, 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 great and mighty praise. We've had other guests continue to come in. Don't you like it when it's like that, when the crowd grows rather than trims? You know, it's growing is better than trimming. So just really so glad everyone is here. You know, relationships, let me say it this way. I started to say about three things at once. That might not come out right. I need to say it in English and not tongues. But relationship is one of the key things that you can trust in this hour. Honestly, anything that's separated from relationships, I'm not so sure you can fully trust them. Our relationship with God, number one, but our relationship that are kingdom relationships, that are proven, tried, and tested, that are faithful, they matter. You can trust kingdom relationships. Kingdom relationships are something that have been built, they continue to be built, and they keep on building. And so when I called Pastor Brian and I talked with him about what God had put in my heart and what I'd put in book form, and he was so gracious to open this opportunity for me to come and share with you what I believe is, again, as I said earlier, another stream for me to operate in this evangelistic call that has led my life and motivated me toward getting people ready for eternity for all my adult life. And you know, when you being young is really cool, by the way. It's wonderful. But you know, there are perks to getting a little season in your life too. And seeing is that every year we're all getting a little bit older, you might as well make the most of the season that you're in. And there's a temptation. There's a temptation to try to not go ahead and be the you in the season that you're supposed to be, because you're afraid you won't be relevant anymore, and you're afraid that whatever you had, you're losing it if you don't try to stay in step with what's young now. Now, if that don't make sense, I promise you it will one day. There is a part of me that is still that young firebrand, traipsing across platforms, preaching revivals, camp meetings, and things of that nature, of fire that's in my heart, that with childlike expectation, I still know God can do anything, and I know that there's no life so broken that He can't fix. But in growing with the Lord and growing as a believer, and everybody should be growing in the Lord as a believer, right? And growing in the Lord as a believer, you learn and experience things through the seasons of your life. That I believe as a believer who has grown and learned some things, we have a responsibility to share things with those that are coming up so that they can learn from wisdom and not pain.
Right. Amen.
Two ways you can learn. You can learn from wisdom, or you can learn through hurt. You can learn through pain. I wonder, has anybody in this room ever learned something through pain? How many of you just soon not have to do that anymore? Then the other way, the best way, is to learn through wisdom. But it really is not your wisdom at first that you learn from. You learn from the wisdom, of course, of God and His Word and the Holy Spirit. But you also learn from the wisdom that other people have attained that are willing to pour into your life, to release into your life, and to share with your life so that you may be advanced. Beware of the Christians who act like they're afraid that you might wind up being more blessed than them. Beware of them. Love them from a distance, because they are dangerous not only to themselves, but they are certainly dangerous to you. For I would say that every healthy, developing believer that has some season in their life, when they look at now younger, up-and-coming Christians, they should want them to exceed. They should want them to be strong. They should want them to be blessed. They should want them to be world changers and difference makers. Let me say to persons that have been serving God for quite some time, I want to affirm you, and I also want to challenge you. People coming up does not mean you're obsolete and unimportant. Honestly, it means you're more important than you've ever been. Because while I'm a soul winner, we also must have something called discipleship. In the book, It All Matters, Finding Value in All Life's Moments, there's some discipleship in this book that I'm thrilled to share. I will let you in on something, though. It's something I'm going to do in every book that I write. I believe the Holy Ghost told me to do it. It's so simple, but it's just so good. I got an altar call right smack in the middle of this thing for people that don't know Jesus. And so it's kind of like I'm in a moment, and I could just feel the Holy Spirit as I was writing. And He said, you need to do it now. And the way He led me into the altar call, it's just slicker than a cat's back, I'm telling you, man. It is wonderful, because God had in mind people that will access this book that I may, some of them that I may never meet on this side, but may meet them on the other side. The things that we have experienced that are things worthy of talking about, some things need to be forgotten. Some things need to be obliterated and not even talked about. We don't need to talk the junk. We need to talk the answer. We need to talk about the lessons learned. And if you have to go ugly a little bit, just make sure that out of the ugly comes some beauty.
Amen.
Right? Because ugly, just for the sake of ugly, is ugly. Right? But if out of ugly you can bring beauty, that's a cool thing. Before I go further, I love not only this house, but I love the leaders of this house. Would you give it up for all the great leaders, very much including Pastors Jimmy and Ann, and all the people that serve in this house. They are intercessors. Do you know that intercessors are not just people who pray intercessory prayer? When you hear the word intercession, the Holy Spirit just rocked my world the other day. He pointed out, He said, intercessors are not just people who pray on behalf of others. Intercessors are people who change diapers in the nursery. To give a mom and daddy a break so they can set their glorious selves in the house and get away from that wonderful child that they love. Thank God I get an hour and a half break. I mean, you just feel like you get the Holy Ghost again at the thought, I love my child, but I'm glad somebody else gets to deal with my child for the next. They're intercessors, greeters who endeavor to affect your attitude and touch you and love on you and encourage you. They're intercessors. People who lead us in praise and worship, they're intercessors. People who work media and make this sound well and keep me with a good voice, you know, and able to speak all the other places that I get to go. Intercessors. You need to understand that. That anybody who serves is an intercessor. And everybody who's saved, I'm about to bless you or cuss. It just depends on which side of the line you're on. Everybody who's saved ought to be serving at some point. Everybody's going to get
going to kick the tires for a while when they try to figure out what church they're supposed to be part of. You know, because part of being led by the Spirit is trying the spirits and see if they be of God. And that's not all. That's not only about, you know, that's not a weird verse. Getting a sense of, do I belong here? But you can't just kick the tires forever. There comes a point where you need to be more than a consumer, when you need to be locked in and committed. I'm preaching better than you're letting on. And then you become a servant. Listen, the most miserable people I know are people who sit around and think about themselves all the time. And I see the misery because I hear them talk. I hear them talk, and the predominant amount of the conversation is about them and what's not happening the way they want it to in their life. And they are miserable people. But the most fulfilled people, as I observe and watch people, and I think about my own life, the most fulfilled people I know are people who serve. And look, I may be a five-fold ministry gift, but that is not so I can be a big shot, which is just a little shot out of town. It is so I can be a higher level servant. The higher God lifts you, the greater the opportunity He gives you to serve. So smile at someone. You're going to be speaking reality for some, and some you will be speaking very much faith. But go ahead and say it anyway. Hello, intercessor. Look back and say, I'm glad you're in the house. See, this stream of opportunity gives me a liberty to flow in a different kind of way than I've been able to, and I love the holy heck out of it. I'm having so much fun with this type of impartation. Let me take you to a place in my past that will help you with your now and your future. A few years back, during one of our 21-day fasts that we do in January, our church does, and something I've done for a number of years, and just really helps me get ready for the year. I felt compelled to go back to my beginnings, to go back to where it all started. I made a special trip back to Alabama where I responded to the call of God. I made a special trip to the churches that I was raised in. I made a special trip in specific to the church that I preached my first public sermon in. I don't remember my first sermon because my first sermon was to a person who would let me talk to them. Because if you've got a call on your life, a building with a steeple on top of it is not going to stop you if you don't get access to one. And if you don't have access to one, it might be that you're not supposed to have access to one yet. But I remember standing after I found the building. It had been a long time since I'd been there. Things had changed so much. The community had changed. It was February 3rd, 1985 that I preached my first public sermon. And I found myself, I couldn't find anybody. I don't even know if they were having services there anymore. This little country church that to me then was as big as this building is now. I preached to a metropolitan crowd of 13 people on a cold late winter morning in Alabama. And look, it's close enough to Oklahoma that it snowed and there was some ice on the roads. So you know what that means. It means you couldn't find no milk or bread in any store for 100 miles. And people, yay, freaketh out. But 13 people came out to that little Oneonta, Blount County, mountain, little Pentecostal church where I was preaching. And I listened not long ago to that very first message on cassette. I've got it on cassette. You may not have access to it. Don't even ask. It's so easy to listen to yourself from the past and judge it wrongly and compare then to now. The Lord's taught me some really wild lessons about that. But somehow or another, I gave myself a chance, Brother Jimmy. I gave myself a chance. I thought, you know, I'm not going to. I was a kid, scared, wanting to please God, shaking in my shoes about the call of God in my life. But in that first message, I listened to the content and not just the delivery.
Right.
I listened to the what I said, not just how I said it. Because
right.
In America, sometimes with some people, and you know what I'm talking about, it ain't what you say, it's how you say it.
And if you don't say it the way they want to hear it, it don't matter how good it is, they're not interested.
Right.
Which is very dangerous.
Yes.
Because there are some people saying some really great things. There's some people saying things very impressive that ain't saying nothing.
Right.
Preaching better than you're letting on.
Yes.
And then there are those who are saying things well that are saying a lot. But the key is it's got to be more than just how you say it.
Right.
What's being said? And I listened to it and I heard God talking through a kid. I heard God's word. I heard God's voice. And I found myself standing outside that building these few years ago. And I'm looking in the building and it's 75 people would have packed it. So it's not near as big as this building. It's not as big as I remembered it being, but it might as well have been Lakewood Church. As far as the size of the facility. And I think Joel can put about 16,000 people in there at one time. And I stood there looking in that room, tears streaming down my face, thinking about that day. Realizing that day mattered every bit as much as this day. Realizing that it was just as important, it had its significance. I might not have been able to do then what I can do now. I mean, something would be bad wrong with me if after all these years I hadn't learned some things and maybe developed some kingdom skills. But that day that I was reflecting on with tears streaming down my face, and God was saying to me, He said, "Son, when you feel like saying, 'If I only knew then what I know now,' that's not possible. Don't even waste the time saying it. I know you have good intentions with that. But I used you then in ways that are different than the way that I use you now."
Right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, if He would have told me to stand on my head, I still believe if He told me to stand on my head, I would try. But if He had told, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered what I believe God would have told me to do. I would have done it. I would not have even considered the repercussion. I would not even consider what people might like about it or might not like about it. I would have been willing to do that. And there is a danger in becoming developed, that we get to the place where if we're not cautious, we will become men pleasers more than God pleasers. And I'm not just talking about preachers. Because if you think this is aimed exclusively for preachers, the people that are reading this book, they're telling me, you know, some say this is great for young ministers. Some are saying, you know, this is great for people that are trying to find their way through difficult circumstances. Some are saying this is wonderful for people who are trying to get past pitfalls and stumbling blocks in their life in order that they can step into God's purpose for their life. But as I found myself standing there, I was amazed at how all those feelings came back, of how what a privilege it is just to be picked by God. Every one of you in this room has been called. Everyone listening to this recording, you have been called, handpicked. You have a flesh suit. But before you were formed in the belly of your mama, God knew you. And so before, you know, your daddy even thought about giving your mama a peck of sugar, much less anything else, don't shout me down, you came through them, but you came from God. He divinely purposed you and planned your life. And this is why it is so important that you don't get in such a hurry to become something that you bypass all the things that are valuable right now. Not only was Rome not built in a day, you won't be built in a day either. But don't let that freak you out and don't let that discourage you. I've had spiritual sons get around me and they say, "Man, I know you've seen miracles. I've heard you talk about seeing the blind eyes open and cancers dissolve and drug addicts set free and people of all kinds of perversion and messed up life set free. Talk to me about that." I said, "You know, I will." And I'd start to talk to them about it, and the Holy Ghost nudged me and say, "Talk to them about character. Talk to them about faithfulness. Talk to them about commitment." Some people think that's cuss words, by the way. But talk to them about those things. And I would shift the conversation. And I could see it in their eyes. That's not what I really wanted to talk about. But that's what they needed to hear. Because every one of us, listen, every one of us has a calling. Oh, yeah. Every one of us has a divine purpose. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Every one of us has been chosen of God. But we have to make up our heart and our mind, how willing are we to give place to what He wants to do? For He is not going to just fall out of heaven with a pressure moment like a cherry, ping, from a tree landing on your head and saying, you will do what you don't want to do. It's not going to happen that way. Let me read you some scripture before I go further into this. Look at your neighbor and say, He be flowing. Praise the Lord. Romans 8. What a phenomenal chapter. Romans 8 is so full of wisdom. Listen to this. Verse 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So can it even be known that you're a son of God if you're not led by the Spirit? If that verse works both ways, probably not. So being led by the Holy Spirit is way better than being head-led, flesh-led, culture-led, broken world-led, but Holy Spirit-led. Look down to verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. He goes on to say, verse 26, likewise the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? But the Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us, or better said, Holy Spirit, because He's not the Holy Spirit, He's Holy Spirit. I think we throw the "the" in there sometimes because it just sounds good. But He's Holy Spirit. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Let me finish verse 26. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession. This is prayer intercession. Intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God is praying His will, His purpose, His plan for your life over you. And then verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This is such a phenomenal verse, but this is so misquoted so often. As I travel, I hear people just quote this verse in segment and in part and leave off key parts. What this verse does not say is this. Well, you know, all things work together for the good. You ever heard people quote it that way? Just look straight ahead. Just nod, cute, real cute like. You know, all things work together for the good. But the realities are, not everything going on in a lot of people's lives is good. In fact, there are some things in the lives of people that are godly and passionate, have some things going on in your life right now that are not good. But all things work together for the good of them who are the called of God according to His purpose. And by the way, don't leave this part out. To them who love God. To them who love God. Not those, oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. We're talking about the Lord or the Lord? Which one am I talking about? I just love the Lord. And I believe they do love the Lord. I believe they love the Lord in their emotions. They love the Lord in their intentions. They honking love the Lord. But loving God is action. Loving God is character. Oh, help me preach. Loving God is attitude. Loving God is a removal from the things that limit Christ's full manifestation and measure of what He wants to bring through your life. Loving Him is taking 1 Corinthians 13, ouching all the way through it, because every time I read it, I'm thinking, oh, that chapter challenges me. I've never read it and done the old Pentecostal jerk and thought, whew, I've arrived in this chapter. Every time I read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8, I get reminded there's a whole lot of growing accessible and available and necessary for Chris Owensby. But all things will work together for good to those who love God in that kind of a way and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Who am I not talking to? I'm talking to everybody. I hope everyone can hear. I hope everyone has ears to hear. I know you have the ability to hear me audibly, but I hope in your spirit you hear what I'm saying, because if you can catch this, then the enemy's ability to talk you out of what he's been able to maneuver you away from will fail. And it is high time for all of us to step into our purpose, that we don't, you know, it's great to celebrate people that are generals and are giants and are game changers. But if you could see in the spirit what God wants to raise up in everybody, you would get so pumped and you would get so excited, because there's an anointing with your name on it, a manifestation, better said, of the anointing with your name on it, an enablement from God, a touch of God, a grace of God, a gifting of God, a plan of God, and a will of God. But if you don't want it more than the speaker wants it for you, it's not going to happen in your life, and I don't even want you to believe a lie. Here comes a place in life where you must really want the things more than anybody wants it for you. How many drug addicts have I talked to that they come up to me, they want to get out of trouble. They want to stay out of jail. They want to not die too young. But they still love the meth, even though it's eating them to pieces. And they love the alcohol, even though it's destroying their liver. And they hold on to things, because you can be free, but you can only be free if you want to be free and you're willing to give place to the power to set you free. And it's not only that way with that kind of behavior, it's that way with all of us. And that's exciting. If you hear that right, then nobody can stop you from becoming, not even the devil, but you. And if that's the case, I got nobody to blame. And boy, you freak some people out. Wait a minute now, brother. Wait just a doggone minute. Don't you ever put me in a scenario. Don't put me in no sendero, brother, that doesn't give me somebody to blame. Because if I didn't have anybody to blame, I might have to be accountable. But the great thing about not having nobody else to blame is I can say, Lord, here I am. You be God, I'll be me. You lead me, I'll follow you. You fill me to overflowing, and I'll give you everything you want with my life. Listen to these chapter headings. Now, what I'm not going to do, one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to preach the everlasting sermon. I want you to know, I promise I won't do that. I will preach the everlasting gospel, but I want you to want to hear me again, so I'm not going to preach forever and a day. I don't know why we throw and a day onto forever, but maybe it's because it just seems so long. How long? So long. Oh, I so enjoyed it, but I'd have enjoyed it more if he'd have quit 20 minutes ago. I don't want you thinking that about me, so I got to practice what I preach. Chapter 1 is called Looking Back to Go Forward. It's learning from what could be discarded values of the past to be brought into the now. It's not trying to be an old wineskin that had its season that no longer embraces the now. But it's looking back to make sure I leave nothing behind that I should be carrying into my future. Chapter 2, introducing a passion for God to this generation. They will not know a passion for God or a move of God if we don't show them by our pursuit a passion for God and a hunger for the move of God. Chapter 3, Honor Guard. It deals with how that our culture has become such a culture of dishonor and disrespect. Not only secular culture, but church culture. Dishonor and disrespect. Why? Because honor and respect are not modeled oftentimes, are not taught oftentimes. But it is part of the protocol of the kingdom. And if you take honor and respect out of it, you're going to miss a whole lot of things that God just simply will not touch and He will not bless. David figured out, dude, after Uzzah died when he touched the ark, David freaked out for a while, wasn't so sure if he was just going to leave the ark at Obed-Edom's house. But when Obed-Edom's ugly daughter started getting pretty and blessing and prosperity began to break out in his house, and increase began to take place in his house. And besides, David was a man after God's own heart. So even though he messed up really bad by not doing his homework and finding the right way to treat and honor the ark of God, he went back and he got to studying and he found out there was nothing wrong with God. The problem was the way he was handling the presence of God. And when he got it right, God gladly allowed his presence to be carried back to the place where it belonged. Honor God. Listen to me. You can choose to live a life of honor, a life of dishonor and disrespect, but it will cost you severely. Well, I'm just who I am. It's just the way I am. You just got to deal with it. You ain't going to get no job worth having. You're going to miss out on a lot of things because of any attitude of dishonor and disrespect is so sinful. I talk about it in the book, but I promise it's life-giving. If that stung a little bit, there's some sugar and sweet stuff in the book. But I also meddle a little more, so I've got to warn you there. Chapter 4, through the foolishness in the crazy seasons. How many of you have been a heathen? Well, we got two kinds. We got have been or still is. Through the foolishness. We all have a... How could we be too condemning to anybody when we all have a past? Chapter 5, the gift of forget. I worked for a Holy Ghost-filled, Word of Faith, charismatic Jew right after I got saved. He was brand new, green out of the world. He was Jew by training, upbringing, and culture, but he was heathen by nature. Full bore, hellion, heathen. But he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and set on fire. Now, I didn't know who Charles Capps, because I came up in old classical Pentecost. I didn't know who Charles Capps was. I didn't know who Jerry Savelle was. I didn't know who Kenneth Copeland was. I didn't know who Kenneth Hagin was. Copeland Hagin, I thought that was something you dipped. I didn't know anything about the... It was actually Copenhagen, but... Don't ask me how I know that. I got really sick off that one time. But I was kind of stupid. I just changed brand, so while he was saved and full of the Holy Ghost, he still was very much a work in motion. Sometimes we look at people like, you're a Christian, why aren't you perfect? But if anybody else assesses us that way, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Judge not that you be not judged. That's not my anointed. Yeah, that'll work too. Hum-a-ma-ma-ma-ma. That's right now. A little of a ma-ma-ma-ma with it, you know. But he would get mad, and he could say some hard things. And a few times he'd get mad. I might not have anything to do with it. And a few times I probably did. But he would get mad and just blow his stack and say some really hard, rough things that didn't really help anything. But then he would come back, and I remember him coming back to me, and he'd ask me to forgive him. I'd say, yes, sir, I forgive you. One day he said, Chris, how do you do it? I said, well, how do I do what, sir? He said, I just fresh saved, okay? Fresh saved myself. So, you know, I understood what it was to be a heathen, leaving the heathenism. You got a new spirit. You got a new life. But yeah, I'm dealing with my old thinker, you know? And he said, how do you do it? I said, do what? He said, how do you forgive so well? I said, what do you mean? He said, I come in here. I got the praise music going on. I got Jerry Savelle. I got Phil Driscoll playing the trumpet. That kind of dates myself a little bit there, but that was back in the day where, man, it was just, I'd never heard anything like it. And my Holy Ghost heritage connected to it. And it was an addition to my life that took my life to a whole nother level.
And he said, I got all this going on. And then he said, I'll throw a fit and go to acting like a fool and get mad and say all kind of mean things and ask you to forgive me. And you don't even like you're mad at me or you hold a grudge. And I looked back at him and I said it with a snicker. I think I was kidding. I said, well, you ain't worth going to hell over. Except, see, Jimmy, you got a good laugh, but I was faith laughing. Because about a half minute, you know. Because the reality was, he was worth everything, but he wasn't worth going to hell over. And unforgiveness is not worth the hell it brings you. And he said, how do you do that? I said, man, I figure anybody big enough to ask for forgiveness and mean it deserves to be forgiven. I said, and the other thing is whether you ask for it or not. I need to forgive you, otherwise I can't go forward. I mean, how many people do you know? Maybe you're that way in the room and you struggle with something and you think, if I forgive, I'm letting them off the hook. If I forgive, I can't make them pay. I mean, I'm going to have my opportune moment. But if I forgive them, I'll go to loving them and stuff. And I'll feel different about it. And I can't get them back. Let me adjust those halos sitting on some of them horns back there. Come on now, you know I'm preaching. But that, you know, all I know is that I was catching hold of the word, and I was hearing these great men of God talk about stuff like that, and they taught it with such an anointing. I'd heard anointed preaching, but I'd never really heard anointed teaching. And I was hearing stuff like that, and I mean, what do you do when you hear an anointed word that talks to you about forgiveness and it's not like it's optional or something? And it's very beneficial and advantageous to you. And you are the big winner by forgiving. And you're the big loser. And I'm not Jim Carrey, but you're the big loser if you don't forgive. And so I had no idea what all was at work in my life. Rolodex down through life. Pastoring way of life. Probably 7 or 8 years into the journey, things were hitting a really maybe all-time high level of fruitfulness and growth in all the ways, not just in one way, but all the ways. And I had no idea that a Jezebel spirit was trying to slither its way into our ministry and to do damage. And people got close to me that I trusted. And I don't regret trusting. I regret not being more discerning. Now, I didn't say having a critical spirit, because a lot of people say, I've got the spirit of discernment, brother. Which they're really just an old critical rascal. But discerning of spirits is an operation of a gift of the Spirit that if we'll have faith for it, He can let us know things that we wouldn't know any other way. Because oftentimes Satan slithers in like, you know, with a shundai. And so things got really bad. Went through some very difficult times. I went through battles. I was so disappointed at myself. I'm going to get real transparent with you because I love you and I want to help you. I got so disappointed with myself because I was battling unforgiveness so bad. And I really thought I was at the place in my life. The devil may could try to trip me and life could try to trip me up with some things. But I didn't think unforgiveness would be able to get me until I got hurt that way. And I was so frustrated because I was trying to let it go. But it's like I would try to let it go and then a thought would hit my mind and it was like it would resurrect again. And I was battling with things and I would rebuke them. I would quote scriptures. I'd stand on God's promises and it seemed like, for whatever reason, wasn't nothing wrong with God's Word or the Holy Spirit, but for some reason, I was struggling. I mean, I'd go out to exercise. One of the reasons why I exercise is to release stress and tension. And that thought would come through my mind about the betrayers. And I'd be running, and I'd be, all of a sudden, a thought would say, what you gonna do if you see them? I think, I'd just soon not see them. Matter of fact, I just soon never see him again. Praise the Lord. Hey, look, I can love you from the other side of the planet. I don't have to love you from the same county. You know, if you see them, they may say this. What you going to do if they say this? I said, well, I'll say that. What you going to do if they do this? Well, I'll do that. And I found myself after about 15 minutes of listening to that CRAP from the enemy. And I'm just trying to run and relax. And now I'm madder than a hatter. I'm ticked. And it's all boiled up on the inside of me again. But I remember one night, Regina was gone with the ladies to a Joyce Meyer conference. I was laying in bed holding on to my little dog, Reggie, battling in spiritual warfare in a way I can't even put into words. And I said, Lord, please forgive me for whatever this is about me that will not let this go, because nothing's wrong with you. And I wish I could tell you that I could give you a 3-point outline on everything I did, but I do know one thing I did. I let it go. No matter what, I let it go. To the point that seed time and harvest happened in the lives of the betrayers. And terrible was the fall. The harvest off of what they did was so brutal and difficult for them. And it broke my heart, because I still love these people. They were cutthroats, but I still love them. And I didn't want that bad thing to happen to them. I think something probably been wrong with me. You know, a part of me wanted them to get it, but the other part of me that had really released it didn't want them to get anything but grace and mercy, because I don't want to get anything but grace and mercy. Are you listening to me? And so everything changed. Everything shifted. God righted the ship. Some relationships were restored. Some people moved on. Praise the Lord. Some people bless you when they come. Some people bless you when you go. Just that's the life. You know what I'm saying? And so years go by. I'm in Walmart one day. Something about Walmart. People show up there. I look over, and there's the kingpin of the betrayal. And I looked at him. And I walked up to him, shook his hand, told him it was good seeing. And didn't even really think about what all had happened. Oh, forgiveness is wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Chris Owensby's not that good. None of us are that good. Forgiveness is so wonderful. Because it's a terrible thing to hate people. It's a terrible thing to be tempted to hate people. Hate is a, if it's not for the devil and the works of the devil, hate has no place in a child of God. You can't spiritualize it, so don't try. It's such an ugly thing. And Regina, I told her, I saw him, and she said, and she was just talking about something. She said, I bet that brought back some memories. I said, not really. She said, you must be getting old. I said, I bind that woman. I said, I ain't getting old. She said, you mean to tell me it didn't even cross your mind? I said, no, I think it just must be the gift to forget. And that's the power of forgiveness, and that's where that whole chapter, the gift to forget, comes. There's way more to it. Let me give you a few more things. What time is it? What time is it? My watch is stuck in my shirt, but I purged it, praise God. 7:21. Can I go a little longer? Y'all with me? You feel me? You with me? You open. Hey, you said you were. Ha, I believe you. Amen. I really believe the gift to forget might be worth the entire reading. And here's my heart on this. If I read a book other than the Bible, I believe if I get one thing out of it, it was worth it. I'm in faith that you'll get at least two. If you love it, I want you to let me know. If you don't like it, don't tell nobody. Don't say nothing bad. Inside voices, shh. Chapter 6, mentors matter. What has your ear is affecting your life by its influence. We need godly mentors. You're not an island. Don't live like it.
chapter 7, The Real Fight, which talks about marriage, it talks about family, it talks about how to navigate through some difficult times with family, because even godly families can have some real battles sometimes. Not everybody in the family will always choose the kingdom way at first. Some people fight like the Dickens and don't even know why they're fighting. I talk about it in there, so you could, I'll identify with you. But hey, everything, no matter the difficulty or the discomfort of the circumstance, like Jesus, it always leads to victory if you trust Him. Chapter 8, wisdom/isdom. If you take the W off of wisdom, all you got left is isdom. And you, it's a chapter worth reading. Chapter 9, even your street. It's a chapter that surges toward evangelism. Chapter 10, you get what you are. Chapter 11, enjoying the journey. I remember where I was in Velvet Ridge, Arkansas, in a little Holy Ghost church, preparing one morning, seeking the Lord about what I was supposed to preach that night. We were in about the third or fourth week of a revival. And the Lord said, get something to write with. And I didn't have my notebook. Look at your shepherd. The shepherd leadeth the sheep. Yea. Shepherd Brian leadeth the sheep with the example of his notes. But I was by myself. I had my Bible, but I mainly had gone out there to pray. I was going to go back and study, but God wanted to share something with me. And He said, you need to write this down. And I started freaking out. I didn't have anything to write with. And I got this weird thing. I don't have no phobias, but I don't write on me. Not only did I not want a tire tool, I don't want a tire tool, and I don't want a tattoo. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. These last and evil days. I don't want no ink on me. What are you, a germaphobe? No, I just don't want no ink on me. I ain't paper. And I thought, and I ran up, and it just, I looked, and there was the pulpit. Now, in those old-time Pentecostal churches, they ain't no telling what's inside a pulpit, a podium. I looked in there. Man, there was stuff that had been confiscated by the pastor to outfit ornery kids that were doing goofy stuff while he was preaching. There was old tithe envelopes. There was, dear God, there was things, a lot of stuff. I reached in there. I grabbed an old tithing envelope that looked like somebody started to use and changed their mind. And I found a little pencil that had been whittle sharpened.
There you go.
You know you in the country.
Right.
When you find a pencil that somebody whittled it. Whistle when you whittle. And they it was just, had just, you know, like about golf card, you know, golf pencil size, but it had been whittled. And the Lord said, begin to write. And I started writing things about enjoying the journey. I was getting so excited. I couldn't hardly write for laughing and crying and shouting and talking in tongues and writing out what God, He's just coming so fast. I couldn't hardly wait to bring it, only to find out that not everybody wants to enjoy their journey. It blew my mind. There are some people who like being a powdered doll to do without her. There are some people who like an attitude that just sucks. There are some people that like whining and complaining. They like the attention that comes with it. And I thought that this would be a word that people would jump on like ugly on an ape and stink on a gym bug, man. I thought they would want it. And many did, but some looked at me. Because I preached it. It took me 4 nights to get it out. And I was blown away at the resistance, not from the lost, but the Christians. You don't know my circumstances, son, that kind of look, you know. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. I just kind of felt that coming at me, and I'm thinking, I'm not making light of what you're going through. I'm telling you, there's something better.
Yes.
Enjoying your journey. They're looking at me like, oh, come on, get real now. Get back to reality. How many of you are grateful that God is way better than what the world calls reality? And then one day I heard Joyce Meyer teaching years after I preached this, and it became a part of my life.
And she said, you need to, and you know how only like Joyce can say it. I can't say it like her, so I won't try, but I'll say what she said. You need to enjoy your journey on the way to where you're heading. I thought, yes. And I didn't look at her like, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how I feel. You don't know that my mother-in-law moved in and said she's staying. You have no idea what's going on in my life. No, I went, hallelujah. Jesus has made a way for us to not only enjoy eternity, but to enjoy our journey while we're here. It all matters.
It all matters.
Find the value in all life's moments. I'm almost done. If you believe that, if you believe that, you're a person of faith. You are calling things which may be not as though they were. The last chapter is, how do you see it now? How do you see it now? Because it matters how you see it about your life. Old preacher told me one time, he said, son, he said, you got to understand now, people are not going to enjoy your preaching as much as you do. And I knew what he meant. I just didn't much like it. But see, my thinking and his was totally different. I'm thinking hungry people are going to enjoy it more than I do. Because it's better news than the stuff that's been binding their life. Because people come up to me and say, why are you so positive? I thought I was supposed to be. You want to know why? Because there's so much negativity. Even a lot of the church is about as negative as it is. But that's not Jesus. We must deal with negative issues. Okay, stick your head in the sand and be an idiot. And deny issues. But negativity just ain't Jesus. Jesus would deal with the ugliest of situations with a positive way. How do you see it now? And so while I heard what that man said, and there was a truth to it, if I was only trying to speak to religious people that didn't want nothing else. But I believe you wind up connecting with people that are looking for what you're looking for too. Brother, did I nudge your shoe, brother? I didn't mean to, but praise the Lord. Those are nice shoes, by the way. If you wore size 11 and a half, I'd get in faith for those. That's a joke. That's a joke. But I do like the shoes. You like the, you're clean. You're always clean. Even when you're cash, you're clean. What's your neighbor say, my preacher clean. He real clean. But I decided to look at what he said in a different kind of a way. Maybe the reason why they're not excited about it is it's not being told right. Now, not everybody's going to want it. I understand that. I can't make you want it, but I can put salt in your oats, sweetheart. I can enjoy it in front of you so much that you'll have to see, at least taste and see, whether I'm just shooting you a line of bull or I'm telling you the truth. And for people that will taste and see how good God is. I wish somebody would shout amen. Who will taste and see how good God is. They will be so grateful for the day that God put a Holy Ghost friend and pest in their life that showed them a better way. Look, not just me, but there's some pests in this room. I discerned you. I discerned your pester spirit. And I mean a good pest. A godly pest. Everything that you have walked through in your life, if you're going to go through it, you might as well grow through it. Even the stuff that God never wanted to happen. Grow through it. Don't let the devil have done anything to you and get by with it without you attaining something by coming through it.
I'm going to have to run right there. Excuse me. I'll be right back. I just got to run that one time right there. I done preached myself happy on that one. Can I tell you about a miracle real quick? You want to hear it? Oh, come on. You can do better than that. You really want to hear it? Oh, thank you. I feel so much more secure now in telling my miracle story. I was doing something real spiritual in Ohio a few weeks ago. I was turkey hunting. Every time I think about turkey hunting, I just feel annoyed. And especially when they're gobbling. I feel annoyed when they're not. But we had this bird gobble up on top of the hill. You know, I'm in pretty good condition. There's a little more of me than last time when you saw me. I'm a little more of a man than I was before in certain places. But there's something in recent times. When I bend my elbow, my mouth comes open. I'm in faith that there'll be food here tonight. I don't know, really. But I'm in pretty good cardio shape. And so my buddy, who's a little younger than me, it's kind of wild. Because I've always been the young guy. Now I'm the older guy running up these hills with these kids. And he takes off up the hill, and we get the guy out of the truck. So we're not loose or nothing. Ain't nobody got out any calisthenics because we're about to. You don't do that when you're turkey hunting. Turkey hunters look at you like, don't bring him home with us no more. He's word. Not weird. He's word. He's word as a three-eyed cat. He's word. I'm telling you, he's word. So he starts taking off up the hill. I'm feeling my oats now because I heard that time up on top of the hill. Did that preacher gobble in church under an anointing? He did. Under an anointing. Hallelujah. And he goes, he's trotting up that hill. So I just started trotting up that hill. Buddy, I just trotting up that hill till I got about 10 more trot steps. And a muscle pulled in the back of my right calf. And then you'd have thought I was having an old-time Pentecostal blessing. But I did not cuss, I promise. I promise. I felt the cuss coming on, but I did not cuss. I give my word. You say you've never cussed? Don't ask that question. I said I did not cuss. It hurt so bad. So bad. And I have done that a few other times. So I knew in the natural, if you don't get a touch from God, what happens? For the next 3 days, you kind of. It's not that your good leg don't work, it's just your good leg is working a lot. But on that hill, I said, Lord, I'm here. I've got a perk of turkey hunting, but I'm supposed to be preaching tonight. And I am not going to go in there limping like this. I need you to touch me. I need you to touch me now. You didn't make me do this. You didn't get me up and say, for yea, I say unto thee, go hunting. You didn't make me go hunting. Yeah, let me go hunting. Right. I did this. But how many times has God helped you when you did it and it wasn't good, right? I wish somebody would shout that God keeps on helping you even when you did the no-no. Amen. Yeah. All I'm going to tell you is he touched my leg. And that night I run and jumped and danced like a 12-year-old. God touched my leg. And I just wanted to share that with you because I ran around the church and I thought about it. And it just came back to me in a moment of time. It's not in the book. It's a freebie. But it might find its way to the series that I'm working on that I'm preaching to parallel the book. Faith Outreach, you may go all over the country with me. By this CD. So you should have screamed. Everyone would have heard your praise phrase. You still got time. Get your praise phrase out and turn it loose. Woo! Every now and then there'll be somebody that's real deep, they think, look at you like, all right, brother, you left the Holy Ghost a few minutes ago. No, if you saw as many depressed and discouraged and heavy-hearted people as I see, when you think that God's got all kind of sugar lumps to put in people's lives to get them to turn this into. It's amazing what breaks loose in your life when you realize that no matter what you've gone through, you can grow through it, you can become. If Father, I love you. I want to thank you for these people tonight. I had no idea how all this would unfold. Honest, y'all, I prayed and sought the Lord, what do I preach? I had some great, I got some notes up here that I would have loved to preach tonight. It did not go that way, and now I realize why it went the way it did, because tonight has been a night of impartation to people who have come to this house for various reasons. Some of you, honest to God, you're here because you love your leader and you love me, and I'm so humbled by it. But there's others in this room and others watching by video or listening to this CD or this podcast, however this is accessing your life. You came looking for something tonight that you needed, and you might not have even had any idea what it was, but you knew that there's something different that God has been wanting to do in my life. And tonight God brings from a unique angle that thing, those things, that direction, that guidance, that touch, that word, to let all things work together for good to you God lovers and to those who are the called according to His purpose. Don't get jealous of the God lovers. You start loving God too. And when you do, you'll find out that no matter what happens, even if it shouldn't have happened, because you let it happen, God will work it for the good.
Yeah.
He gave me a testimony out of that bad mistake. Isn't he awesome? Would you stand all over the room? Would you lift your hands, please? I feel the remakandi slapo frabadel kapanishaki. Let's worship Him. Ratu vumazama mamrede. Ebe de gidagaha kokoko shekevite lema ebromandala. If you're brand new, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit as He nudges me with utterance. Reng da kasi le kabo kote le vinlande shlada. Ela kuhu fredite pa antion songata. Ek tashkaka nekoya. Ekaria zufredi. Rvendebo andosha. I see impartation going forth all in this room. I saw different ones of you catching things tonight. I saw some of you catching some things beyond anything I've said or done. Some of you catching things because your hunger has placed a demand on the gift in this room. And it's laid hold on what you need from God. Some of you are even receiving more than you thought you needed and more than you anticipated. Jila klofedia elato yefranende leke ardaba labusala de beporta lalaba remende le kazaka. I'm going to cause you to see things in a different light. I'm going to cause you, says the Lord, to see things that you thought were waste with a different perspective, that were not waste. For because you yield to me, I'll take things that don't make any sense to you, and I will bring purpose into your life through those things. I will not let any attack of the enemy block you from increasing as you yield to me. I will not let any area of negligence from your past that you gave place to because you got off track or you became complacent, yet you came and returned to me and desired full restoration. I will not let the restoration be not active in your life. You will not miss it. I bring it to you because of your love for me and your value for me. I am aware, says the Lord, that you don't do everything perfect. But I am also aware that many of my children assembled in this atmosphere are doing things well at a level beyond what you ever have before. You are growing, you are increasing, and you are developing. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, and when I look at you, I'm not just looking for what's wrong. I'm looking for obedience. I'm looking for hunger. I'm looking for willingness and openness. I'm looking for those who want my heart and not just their way. For I say to you, says the Lord, if you will trust my way above your ways, I have some surprises for you. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. I have some surprises for you. I have some things I want to do in your life. You have a right to ask me for things, but I'm challenging you tonight to let me nudge you in the way you need to ask. Don't just ask on a whim. Consider my ways. Consider my heart. Consider my thoughts, says the Lord. Consider my words. And then ask for that which might not at first been your pick. But when you ask for it, you'll find out I had way more better in store than what you had considered before, says the Lord. Oh, my Jesus. Let's worship Him in this room. Let's worship Him in this room. Lord, I don't know how you mean that. I don't know who all you're speaking to. I don't know what all you're up to, but thank you that you're up to. He's up to. He's up to. He's up to the task. He's up to this moment. You came to this place tonight. He will not disappoint His kids. He will not drop us and let us down. You are marked for blessing, and really, there's nothing the devil can do about it. And I don't believe there's anything in a negative sense you want to do about it. And so as you are open, divine release. Sometimes on my smartphone, if you've got a smartphone, you get downloads that refresh your phone. God's got downloads to refresh your life, to teach you. That's a lie that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. If that's the case, then don't be an old dog. Amen. Just be new and renewed and growing you, because there's more to experience. There's more to know. There's more to receive. There's more to be used in. Your best days are not behind you. Huh? If they are, then you should have done died and went to heaven. What the heck are you still doing there? Huh? But your best days are ahead of you. I dare you to turn to somebody if you receive that and say, He's talking to me. Your best days are ahead of you. But circumstances, says, circumstances are not Lord. Your best days are ahead of you. But I'm going through a storm right now. Well, grab a plank. We'll surf to the beach if we have a shipwreck. But we're going to win, because we are winners. We're going to win. In Christ we win. How many of you are grateful that in Christ you win? Period. Hallelujah. Well, but brother, beware of the but brothers. Beware of the but brothers. That's right. The ones who are going to just dilute that word because it makes them too uncomfortable to believe it. I want to believe it. I want to believe it. I don't want to limit it. I want to believe it. How many of you need a God and not just a buddy? You need to thank God He's our friend, but you need a God. Are you grateful that you've got a mighty and an awesome God? In the name of Jesus, I declare divine healing all in this room. I declare divine healing anointing flowing all in this room. I thank you for those that need divine healing in their bodies, that it flows in this room right now. For those who need a surge of divine encouragement, I thank you, dear God, that it's been flowing tonight. But I declare right now in this moment of faith, when the spirit of faith is moving, that a recognition of a divine flow of encouragement is connecting with people's hearts and connecting with people's lives. How many of you were here in the Jerry Savelle crusade? Was that not glorious? I said that bad. Wasn't that glorious? I said that totally dyslexic. I don't know why. And I'm not dyslexic. I just said it backwards. Yeah. But that was so wonderful. That was so glorious. There is an anointing in this room right now just as real as that heritage of faith anointing that Brother Savelle operates in, to let you know nothing about your life that you entrust with God is going to be wasted. That woman brought her alabaster box of ointment into where Jesus was, and she broke the seal of that alabaster box, and she didn't just put a little bit behind her ear and think, oh, praise the Lord. All right, nice little Christian poodle that smells good. She poured it out all over Jesus. She was anointing Him for His burial, and she didn't even know it. But she was also decorating Him with her worship. Some of the smart boy disciples, one of them in specific, said, Master, why would you allow this waste?
I believe Jesus cut his eyes. I wasn't there, but you weren't either. I believe Jesus cut his eyes. Don't you call her worship waste. This woman has given her best. And this woman has anointed me for my burial. I say it prophetically. Everything you entrust into God, even things that still don't make sense after years, it will not be for waste. Hey, here's a thought. If you learned, dadgummit, I'll never do that again. That's a win right there. Look, I preach to some people that's like, watch me. They ain't figured. They have a hard time figuring this out. Bam. I mean, they've been doing it for years. I promise, sister, I did not mark the wall. Your pastor's wife and my wife have a spirit of don't mess up our stuff. Be blessed and all, but keep your sanctified hands away from tearing up our stuff. How many of you believe you can? Isn't it great to know you don't have to be a repeat performer of the things that got you in messes? That sounds so common sense, but it ain't so common. Just learning simple things is not so common in this hour. So maybe we need to talk about them. And rather than grabbing people's head and shoving their nose in and saying, "You stupid. What's wrong with you, stupid? You think that." No, you can't even think. You lift them up and you say, "Look, you know the way you've run into the wall the last 100 times? If you do it again, you're going to get the same results. Why not learn and realize, I think it's time to go the other way. Time to make some different steps." Would you bow your heads for a moment? If you're in this place right now and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm aware that tonight is predominantly Christ followers, and I'm so humbled. When I say that, I'm so humbled and honored that you're here. I so love Faith Outreach. I don't know of another church quite like you. That's one of the things I love and celebrate so much about you. But if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, we're not just such excited Christians that we don't care about your eternal need for Christ. We would be so thrilled if you would let us lead you to Jesus tonight. If you would allow us the privilege of introducing you to Jesus. I didn't say religion that'll let you down. I said clearly, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is way more than you ever dreamed that it was. That will never disappoint you. But bring things to your life that you never dreamed could come. If you're in this place, or you're listening to me right now and you want to say yes to Christ, would you slip up your hand? If you're not sure that you belong to the Lord, if you are sure, please don't let anything talk you out of what you know. But if you're not sure, don't let any trick of the enemy or any lie of the devil talk you out of what you need to do. And you're so priceless and you're so important. And eternity is forever. In a million years, it's just getting started. Eternity is forever, and it matters that you're ready for it. If there's one in this room, before I turn this back to Pastor Jimmy here in a moment, in this very unique night, this has been such a joy for me. But is there one? I just feel compelled to hold a moment. Just hold a moment. I've had these nudges through the years so many times, and somebody would break and come running to the Master. They just needed a little patience. Not a big price to pay to help somebody get ready for eternity. Father, thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for a church that is a beacon of light in its community. Thank you, dear Lord, that this is a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That Faith Outreach lives up to its name. A people that not only reach more for you, but they reach for others. And Father, I'm so great that you teach us not to focus on the things we can't do, but you teach us to focus on the things we can do and we should do. And I want to thank you that churches like this are really touched to help pull people out of the fire, to help pull people out of brokenness and bondage, to help lead people into a life that they can pass with honor and joy to the next generation. I'll say it, Lord. There's some adults in this room. You've been trying to pass the heritage of your faith. You've been struggling to do it because the ones you're trying to pass it to have not readied their heart to receive what you're trying to pass to them. But I want to encourage you, don't stop making that kind of pass. Keep making it available, because what you have to give them, they need it. They don't realize it just yet, but they need what you are to pass to them. You would have passed a curse at one time in your life, but now you pass a blessing. They're living in a curse right now. It's hard to receive a blessing when you're living in a curse-choiced life. But keep making that blessing available, because while we serve the God of no condemnation, you become an instrument of loving conviction. And as Pastor Brian prayed tonight, that by the love of God pricks their heart and reminds them that they're not just here for what they can do with their life and sweep it up and get ready for heaven right before they die, but that they can receive something now that will be part of the big picture of what you have designed and desired in this hour. Lord, I thank you that this next half of 2019 will be absolutely amazing at Faith Outreach. Do more, Lord. All the things that you've deposited. I did not have the privilege of being here when Pastor Tracy was here. I've not had the privilege of being here on these great Sundays that have happened on regular occurrences that are not just Sundays, but they are kingdom days. Yeah. The things that you've been building on and working on, blow us into your wonderfulness, Lord. Let your wind blow us into everything you want us to be into. Have your way in our lives. As I hand this back to Pastor, would you give a crazy praise, shout and clap and down payment of celebration to the Lord Jesus about everything that you're determined to receive that He makes available for you, not only tonight, but the rest of the year. Would you thunder up to the Lord a mighty clap offering? I love you so much. I'll be back there in the back. You don't have to get a book if you don't feel like you need to, but I do want to say goodnight to you. I love you so much. I'll see you back there. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. You may be seated for just a second. Chris will be back at the book table, and you'll have an opportunity to purchase a book and get him to sign it for you. And aren't you glad you came? Wow. I'm telling you, it's just been, it's been like icing on the cake. And just what a breath of fresh air, and we all needed to hear it. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done. We need to hear what was said tonight. And I appreciate God. I knew it was going to be good. I knew when He called that God had something, not only just the books, but He had something to impart to us. And for one thing, I know Chris. Another thing, I know God. And God doesn't waste time. He's going to use this opportunity. When you put yourself in position to receive, He will certainly offer it to you. Amen. So we want to receive a love offering tonight for Chris, and we'll make checks out to Faith Outreach. We'll reimburse that. And then don't forget to go by the book table as well. So let's all stand, please. And ushers, if you come forward, and Doug's going to put us on some spiritual offering music. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus. Come here, Diane. Where'd you go, Diane? Right there you are. She's supposed to be saying something. No, no. You need to say something.
You know, this morning I talked to the most of you that were here about putting vision to your seed. And you know, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I believe that he's provided medicine for us tonight. Yes. You don't ever leave with a frown on your face when you hear Chris. He always puts a pep in your step. And always he puts joy in your heart. And you know, we need to sow some good seed tonight. And we're going to put vision to it.
Yes.
Because we have needs. And we're going to put vision to our seed. And whatsoever we sow into his ministry, God's going to sow it back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He'll cause men to give unto our bosom. He'll meet every need you have. I promise you can trust him. Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord God. We give, we pay honor to Chris. And Lord, we give with a cheerful heart tonight. And we thank you, God. We've purposed in our heart what we're going to give. And I thank you, Father, the vision's on the seed. And I thank you, God, that it's prospering 100-fold. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.